Good morning. Welcome to our program. Someone has said, a good way to judge the character of a person is to observe what they do with a shopping cart after their load has been placed into the car. Well, little decisions like that do say something about our character. You can judge the character of a person by what he does when the store clerk gives him 10 cents too much change. Now, we may consider these matters of insignificance, but they do say something about who we really are. Today on our program, and next week, the Lord willing, I want to talk about some marks of a great character, marks of a character that pleases God. But I want us to understand that we're talking about character, not reputation. These are two different things. Reputation is what others think of you. Character is what you really are. Now, a good reputation is wonderful. It is something we should strive for. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold." To have the kind of name that when it is spoken, it brings to people's minds honesty, integrity, goodness, that is indeed wonderful. But the primary focus of our lives is to build a great character, the kind of character that pleases God. And if we will build for ourselves a character that pleases God, then our reputation will take its place in our lives. But to try to build a good reputation without the accompanying character is called hypocrisy. Well, let's look at some marks of great character. First of all, a person is of great character when he is just as concerned about doing right when he is all alone as he is when he is in the presence of others. When you are all alone and temptation comes your way, and no one will know whether you gave in to the temptation or not, what do you do? Well, what you do is a major test of character. Someone said of a lady, "If she was in a room all by herself and a table in that room was filled with $100 bills and she knew that no one would know if she took one of those bills, she would absolutely not take one." Well, that's an indication of a good character, and we might say neither would I take one. Well, while we may not take money off the table, there may be other sins we do when we know no one is looking. Think about King David. He may not would have taken money from someone, and yet he would lust after Bathsheba, another man's wife, and commit adultery with her when others did not know what he was doing. On the other hand, Judas Iscariot might not be tempted to commit adultery, but that $100 bill would be a great temptation to Judas. You see, we all have our weaknesses. When I am tempted in the area of my weakness, and I know no one will see, what do I do? Well, this is a major test of my character. When God gave the children of Israel the city of Jericho, He told them not to take of the silver and gold and of the vessels of bronze and iron from the city. They were consecrated to the Lord. But Achan coveted a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold. He took them from the city and he hid them. He was thinking, no one will know. Achan was a man of weak character. Well, what is the solution to this problem? Well, the solution is godliness. Godliness is one of the qualities that we are to add to our faith, Peter says in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 and 6. Well, what is godliness? Well, W.E. Vine, in his expository dictionary of Bible words, says that godliness denotes that piety which, characterized by a Godward attitude, does that which is well-pleasing to Him. And so godliness begins with a Godward attitude, and from that Godward attitude proceeds conduct pleasing to God. One with a Godward attitude is aware of God throughout the day. There is a consciousness of God. The godly person is always aware of the fact that God knows his every thought and sees his every action, and that God evaluates all that he does. He is fully convinced of what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 4 verse 13, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You see, God saw David's adultery. God saw Judas make a deal with the chief priest about betraying Jesus for money. God saw Achan take the garment, the silver, and the gold. And God sees whatever we do, whether it is seen by man or not. And so godliness, our consciousness of God, and our desire to please God, is the answer or solution to our problem when tempted to do something when no one else will know. But also, I think that we need to ask ourselves, do I do what is right when no one else will see me do it? Do I pray when I know that no one else will know it? Do I read and study my Bible when I know that no one else will know what I am doing? Do I faithfully attend services of the church when I'm away from home and I know that no one back home will know whether I attended or not? You see, the godly person does it because he knows that it pleases God. Doing what is right, even when no one knows, is a mark of great character, a character that pleases God. But then secondly, a person is of great character when he admits his failures without any alibis or excuses. All of us at times commit sin. Sometimes my sin may be one that has let my family down, or let my country down, or let the church down. Well, do I make excuses? Do I offer alibis? Do I put the blame on someone else? No, this is what some of our politicians and celebrities do. It seems that the accepted way of dealing with accusations of sin today is to lie about it, make excuses for it, put the blame on someone else, get a good lawyer so that we can beat the rap. The thinking is, do whatever you can to keep from paying a hefty fine or going to jail. Well, is this where we have come to in our country? It's okay to lie about our crimes if we can get away with it? Well, there's another choice. We can say, I have sinned. I am guilty. I have no one else to blame but myself. I am responsible for my own conduct. And I am willing to accept whatever the consequences of my actions may be. Will you please forgive me? Now, this is how a person of great character handles his sin. This is how a person who wants to please God deals with his sins. King David, who committed adultery and murder, did try to hide his sins for a while, but eventually he dealt with his sin in the right way. He admitted his sins, repented of them, and sought God's forgiveness. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13 says, "So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." Psalm 51 was written by David after he had repented. He says, beginning with verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." You know, here David does not make any excuses. He does not offer any alibis. He does not blame Bathsheba. He does not get angry with Nathan, who brought his sin to his attention. He rather owns up to his sin and seeks God's forgiveness. Now, there were consequences to his sins, and he accepted them without complaining to God. David had let his nation down when he committed his sin. He showed little character, but he showed what a man of great character does when he repents. Now, contrast David with King Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, God told King Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites and spare them not. But Saul disobeyed God. He spared the king and the best of the sheep and the oxen. Well, when the prophet Samuel brought this to his attention, Saul began to make excuses and to put the blame on the people. Saul did not genuinely repent of his sins. In verses 26 through 28 it says, "But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord. and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe, and it tore. So Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and has given it to a neighbor of yours, who is better than you." Now this one that was better than Saul was King David. Now, David is said to be a man after God's own heart. Saul was rejected by the Lord from being king. Now it was not that one committed sin and the other did not. They both committed sin. It had to do with their heart. David admitted his sins and genuinely from the heart repented of his sins. Saul did not have that kind of heart. Saul was a weak character, a character that was not pleasing to God. Now there may be someone in your family you have sinned against. The relationship is strained. Now he or she has not acted right toward you either. And you think that that person needs to come to you and own up to his sins first. You're thinking he is the problem. Well, what does the person of great character do? What does the person who wants to please God do? Well, he is one who will admit his sins whether the other person does or not. He is one who will own up to his sins in the matter and say, "I am sorry." Remember, Jesus said, "Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Matthew 7, verse 5. And it may be there are some in our listening audience today who have for some time refused to admit the sins in their own lives. You're thinking it would be too humiliating to admit wrong. But dear listener, that is the only way one can be forgiven of his sins. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. They both went to the temple to pray. Now the Pharisee did not acknowledge any sin in his life. He did not seek any forgiveness. But the tax collector, Jesus said, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, it was not that the Pharisee did not have any sin. He did. He just refused to acknowledge it. It may be it was too humiliating for him to admit it. But notice what Jesus said concerning these two. He said, "I tell you, this man," talking about the tax collector, "went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Those who will be justified are those who will humble themselves to admit their sins and seek God's forgiveness in the way that God has commanded. Well, one who is of great character, a character that pleases God, is one who will admit his sins without any alibis or excuses. And also, he is one who is just as concerned about doing right when he is all alone as he is when he is in the presence of others. We're talking here about marks of great character. Next week, the Lord willing, we want to talk about other marks of great character, a character that pleases God. And we hope that you'll join us at that time. If you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then just give us your name and address along with the title of the program that you would like a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Now, there are three ways that you may send in your requests. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. That's FIDNET.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.